conference will now be recorded.
And to the Republic,
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. This meeting will be conducted by electric means in accordance with the Senator Byron, and I get that one mixed up every week, Byron M. Bear Open Public Meeting Act of 2020, which explicitly permits a public body to conduct a meeting electronically during the state of emergency. Governor Murphy issued the executive orders 103 and 107 declaring a public health emergency and state of emergency and directing residents to quarantine and practice social distancing. Borough of Seabright, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed notice in the with the borough clerk, and posted notice in the borough offices on the borough website. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. And could we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bills? Mr. Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeSeo?
Here.
Mayor Kelly? Councilman Lexstein?
Here.
Mr. Knott?
Not here.
Oh my God.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Smith is here. Great. Ms. Gorman?
Here.
And Mr. Schwartz? Okay.
Just for the record now, I think we have seven members.
We have just enough, right?
For the break, we have enough for both, but I think there are seven eligible members. Although I'm not sure of that, Candace, how many are eligible for the break? That, you know, were at the prior meetings and or listened to the tapes?
Well, the mayor and the councilman won't, you know.
I know.
But,
it's a usury, so they aren't.
I have.
That's why I
approval. Bob Knott was absent for a meeting, and Mr. Schwartz wasn't here then, and he's not coming tonight anyway.
Okay. So everyone else, I think there are six eligible voters for that application.
I have Bills, Cashmore, Cunningham, DiGiulio, DeSeo, Lexstein can't do that, Smith, and Gorman.
And Bills isn't here then tonight, right?
So Peggy did text me prior to the meeting. She said she will be here. She's just running
okay.
late.
Oh, good,
that's
good,
great.
Good.
So then we'll have seven.
Good.
We'll have seven. Cool. That's great. Okay.
Thank you. We're okay then.
Okay. Moving along. Minutes of our December 8th meeting. Discussion or a motion on those minutes?
I'll make a motion. Approved as written.
Second?
I'll second.
Candace, a roll call, please.
Okay. Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes, sir.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeSeo?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein? I didn't hear Councilman Lexstein.
Guys, I'm trying to see if I'm okay with the minutes. I'll say yes.
These are the 12-8 minutes.
Yes.
You're a yes? Okay. Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman? Where'd she go?
Yeah, no, I'm here. That's my application, so yep. I need to
Okay. So you're a yes for the 12-8 minutes. Yeah, we were through with the roll call. We're on to the minutes of January 12th.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Got everybody.
Got everybody who's here.
Authorization of the resolution for the Duane Project 10 Church Street, Block 13, Lot 33. Discussion on the resolution or a motion?
I'll move the resolution.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Ms. DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeSeo?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
And I think that's all who were eligible.
Okay, we're moving on to the capital review of the singular wireless tower, the cell tower, believing in the old borough hall.
Hi, my name is Judy Fairweather. I am the attorney for New Singular. I brought with me this evening my engineer, there he is, Brian, to talk about what we have proposed. So your governing body went out to bid. AT&T won the bid. Place antennas in the structures that are on Wayne Street and Ocean Ave. So if it's all right with you, Mr. Chair, I would have Brian just kind of explain what we're doing, unless you want to do it a different way.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, Carrie, you're the right
just moved over.
Yes,
just moved. Where is it?
Preliminarily, I just want to put on the record that this is a capital project review. No notice was required for same. So there is no notice. However, we did mark into evidence the A1 for the plans by Dewberry, last revised 1/5/21. I think it's 22 pages. A2 is the council resolution reference, resolution number 65-2020. That's the lease for the co-location on the existing tower. It authorizes the lease, I should say. A3 is the application. A4 is the Dewberry structural analysis dated 12/4/20. So, Mr.
Huff? Could I interrupt for a second, Mark? Yeah. You're up to speed on this?
Yes, sir. This is something I know the council's been trying to do for a while. Essentially, what it is I mean, let Ms. Fairweather talk about it, but essentially what we're doing is trying to get rid of the temporary second tower that's been there for like 2 billion years. We're trying to get rid of that because that was never supposed to be there, and get everything co-located on the one tower, which is what the original plan always was.
Right. And from what I read, they're not changing any of the floor plan or structure, so to speak, correct?
They're just going up.
Right. So why don't we let them give us a quick brief synopsis of what they want to do, and we'll move on from there.
Great. Mr. Huff, you want to raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name, spell your last name for the record?
Brian Huff, H-U-F-F.
And Mr. Huff, you're a licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey?
That's correct.
And have you appeared before boards and testified before boards in the past?
I have in the state of New York. This will be my first time in New Jersey.
Okay. And you're familiar with the plans?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Judith, did you want to continue on as well as...
Sure. Brian, can
to interrupt, but...
No, that's okay. Brian, can you please explain to the board, they have a set of your plans. If you want to refer to the sheet number, just tell us the sheet number. But can you explain to the board what we're doing, especially the heights that the antennas are going and where yeah. our equipment and generator are going?
Sure. I see down here, does it make sense for me to share my screen? I have the plans up, or should I just reference?
No, sharing would be great.
Okay. All right, yeah, just let me know once you can see this.
And let the record reflect that Ms. Bills has entered the meeting.
Thank you.
So can you see these plans here now?
Yeah, we can see sheet C1.
Okay, great. Okay, so what we are proposing to do is, for the equipment, it will be on a elevated platform at grade on the, I guess you would say, the west side of the existing curb island next to the existing building. So this is going to be an elevated platform at, it'll be finished 9 feet above grade, which is going to match the existing building structure here. And on there will be our equipment cabinets, a DC generator for backup power, a power panel, telco panel, and then remote radio heads. There'll be, it'll be easier to see on the next sheet.
Oh, yeah, elevation is always good.
Yeah, so this will be our equipment platform here with essentially all of our equipment, the equipment cabinets, power panel, remote radio heads, and fiber management boxes, which will be mounted to the screen wall, and then a DC generator for backup power. So this platform is going to be an elevated platform without a roof structure, but it will have a louvered screen wall surrounding the entire thing, which we are planning to match the existing building color, or, I mean, that I guess can be up for comment. So that will be there. Yes, and then the antennas, there's going to be 3 total antennas, one at the 55-foot center line, which is here. That's part of the existing monopole or concealment pole that's there now. And then as part of this 30-foot extension, which I believe T-Mobile is completing, we are going to have 2 more antennas at the 85-foot center line, which is, say, the first 10-foot canister of the extension, which is right here. And so for our coax cables, those will run below our proposed platform, then to under the existing building, to a cable bridge, which will then run them inside the existing structure up to our antennas. I think the next sheet, too, kind of gives a better idea right here if you want to see what the actual structure would look like as compared to the existing building here.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So the new platform, is it going to, I think you said we're not going to be able to see through it, right?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so it's going to be designed to blend, because they took a lot of care, Verizon did, when they came in and built what they built, to make that basically look like a lifeguard type station. And we would want to make sure that whatever you're building is going to blend right in with that, make it look one continuous building.
Right, so,
if I can interrupt for a minute, go ahead, let me let you finish, but what I'm seeing here isn't going to blend in as part of the design of the building as Mark is asking. It's just going to be a box in front of the building.
And thanks, Steve. I mean, that's not where I was going with it, so that's why I'm asking the question.
Right, yeah, so, I mean, it will be the same color as the existing building. I mean, this did kind of come up as part of the design process here, was whether, well, one, we can't necessarily make it all part of one larger building, but if we were to, say, put a separate roof structure on here, then we felt that it was going to more so contrast with the add to it. If we have kind of a separate, it would almost be a separate building next to the existing building.
Brian, you're showing me scripts and stuff, and I realize you need to, but what we're looking at where we see the equipment and everything, it will have the same outside speakers as the existing building, correct? I mean, it doesn't
right.
Have
gas. Exactly, yeah. This is more for visual purposes, just to see what's behind there, but yeah, you won't see anything behind there.
But you walk up the steps, there's a building to the left and a small little, looks like room to the right. The only difference is, right, it doesn't have a roof on it, but it will be the same stripe, levers, and all that.
Correct.
I think if you put the same roof and cupola on top of it, it would just look like a smaller accessory building, but it would blend in better. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Listen, I'll say it again. There was a lot of care put in when Verizon built what they built. And I can tell you that Seabright won a lot of praise from other municipalities over the type of care that was put into the design. And it looks really good there. As far as as good as a cell tower can look, this is one of the better cell towers in the entire area. So this is the first time I'm seeing the actual plans as we're sitting here. And I sort of share the same that Steve is expressing, that we really got to try to get this thing to blend in with the other building as closely as possible. And I'm a little nervous by what you're presenting here.
Brian, can we put a smaller roof on it? And does that work with the generator?
With the generator, not really. No. I mean, because then it just brings into a whole other separate set of issues with DOS.
Does Verizon have a generator in that?
Yes. It does, yeah.
I agree with Mark. And
the generator could be under a roof.
Would it be possible to have a color rendering of this so that we could see how it will actually look? I mean, it's hard to tell with that.
Judy, I don't want to speak. We can have a photo sim completed of what it would look like.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because I'm only one council member. That's the only council member who's here. I think you're going to have a hard time with the council based upon the care and pride that was put into the original building. To me, this is just something like it's just a platform attached to it, just sort of there for the sake of it being there. And I know we have another councilman who's actually watching the meeting, and maybe he can talk. I know Councilman Birdsall's watching. And I'm sure he'll chime in if there's open to public comment. But that's my concern. I really think we need to be, there are things you can do. And I think to make this blend in more, I think it needs to be done. I mean, I don't want to keep repeating myself, and I apologize for doing that. But I'm very concerned. I don't want to just do this just for the sake of doing it.
Hey, Mark, this is Dave. If you read the plan, actually, this isn't another building. It's equipment that is being covered by a proposed louvered screen wall. So it's just equipment that's covered by a screen wall, so you'll be able to see it visually through the wall.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
You won't be able to see the equipment through the wall.
It's the same wall that's there now. You can see the Verizon equipment.
It'll be a different material. This is proposed as a different material than theirs. But this is a wall design so that you can see through it. It's just louvered so that way there's not issues with the generator, so that the generator has room for air intake and exhaust.
And why can't that be done with the roof? I mean, the other building is, the generators are completely inside.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, Verizon does have a generator inside. T-Mobile is proposing theirs outside the building. So in order for everything to fit on one platform like this, we needed to we couldn't close things off.
Well, you could. And listen, I mean, don't say you can't. You could. It all depends on how much work you want to put into it and how much money you want to spend on it to make it look nice. I mean, I hate when people tell me we couldn't do it. Yeah, you could. It's a question of whether you want to.
Ryan, is T-Mobile's generator is not in our enclosure, correct?
No, they're proposing theirs on the opposite side of the bridge.
This is just AT&T's. And we hear what you're saying. I think that we understand your recommendation, and I think that we will get some photos. And who would you like us to work with the board? Do you want us to work with your engineer, your planner, your representative from the governing body to show the photos to? We understand what you're recommending. I get it.
Yeah, no, I'm the representative from the governing body. I know, Councilman Birdsall, you, Lance, do you mind since he's here?
I don't mind at all.
Kevin, are you here? I think I saw you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm online. Thank you. My concern here, first and foremost, is, as Mark mentioned, that Verizon spent a great deal of time and effort making this, you know, blend into the surrounding area and making it look as if there's something there, but nothing there. You know, it's completely, it fits in with the beach theme and everything that they've done, you know, everything that this town is, you know, all that. And this, what you guys are proposing here is going to be, and, you know, you tell me that it's a screened area, that's not, information's not going to be, the equipment's not going to be visible, but I'm well aware of what. And you can see from the one image that you have up here right now, to the left bottom corner, that you can obviously see through that. You wouldn't draw it that way if that wasn't the case. So, you know, I don't see why you can't tie into the existing structure. If that means that you have to rework the existing structure or get approvals from Verizon to do so, I think you should do so. I mean, and as Mark said, to tell us that you can't do something is, you know, for lack of a better word, is BS.
Why don't we move on? She was suggesting that they could come back with a different plan and tie them together and try and accommodate some of the suggestions of the governing body. So why don't we let that happen and bring it back? We have a busy night tonight. I would suggest, if they're willing to do that, we let that go forward and let them do that. Anybody disagree with that?
No, I agree, Mr. Chairman, and I just want to be clear. Look, we want this project done, and we want it done as soon as possible because we really want that temporary cell tower out there. You know, the council's been screaming about this, and this is not AT&T's fault, but we've been screaming about it for ever since that temporary tower went up. So I don't know if can we carry this to the next meeting?
Candace,
when's the next meeting?
The next meeting is the 26th.
26th of
excuse me. Sorry. February 9th. February 9th is the next meeting.
Okay. I think we can do something but I want to be clear on something. We will not be able to, for many reasons, most of them has to do with Verizon and AT&T and legal things. We're not going to take that room and expand it.
Understood.
Okay, good. So I thought I heard that about. But the steps going up, I understand what you're saying. The steps coming up, it just seems like there's something to the right. I get that. But to use materials, put a roof on it so it matches and things like that, that's the direction we're heading in. Okay?
Right. And if you need us to, run a conversation with Verizon, then we're willing to do that. And Verizon that we've worked with us on, they've been very cooperative throughout the entire project.
Yes. No. Us just taking the least area we have, making it
Your suggestion before, Mark, that you and the councilman do a quick review before it comes back to this board might be a smart thing to do.
That's
Yeah, no, I agree, and that'd probably be the intelligent way to go. And I apologize, we didn't see this until really tonight. I mean, I have the plans in front of me, but this is the first time this was not submitted to the council prior to this. So.
Understood.
Hey, Mark, the more I'm looking at this plan, it's nothing more than a deck. It's a deck with equipment on it, and they're building what would be similar to a fence around it. They're calling it a screening wall. There's no building. Nothing's enclosed.
And that's what I'm seeing to you, Dave, and that's why I asked the question to begin with. It disturbed me. So, but I think they get it. So, run it by...
Mark, since there was no notice anyway, it's not a matter of carrying it. We can carry it if we choose to and put them on schedule.
Yeah, we still carry it. It's still a carry because you're not completing the application.
Okay.
Right. So I may get. So yeah, I just asked Ms. Fairweather that you do communicate with perhaps with me and Councilman Birdsall and before we go any further, before you come back. Just run it by us. I mean, we can still get you on the 6th. I don't think it'll be that big of a deal.
I'm sorry, Mr. Councilman. What's your last name?
Lechstein, Lechstein.
Thank you. Yes, you will be hearing from me.
All right, thank you.
And I just wanted to... indicated that the material was not going to be the same as the others. So
we'll check into that.
I just wanted you to look at that.
Understood.
All right, so, Mr. Chairman, then if none of the other planning board members want to chime in, I would make a motion to carry this to the meeting of February, I guess it's February 9th.
February 9th.
Is there any objection from board members?
I don't think they'll have enough time to prepare anything in 1 week.
Let's see how we do. I'll let you know. This is very important. I know the councilman wants the temp site off, so does AT&T. So let's see what we can do. I'll know tomorrow morning when I have a conference call with my team.
Yeah, Dave, we always can carry it again on February 9th if they're unable to go forward with anything.
Okay.
Right. You have a second? Okay.
Go ahead, Carrie. Yeah.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. We'll see you on the 9th.
Thank you for your time. We'll see you.
Moving along. On to the carried application from the 8th of December, the break at Seabright, LLC. 1080 Ocean Avenue.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm going to step down since this is a use variance application. I cannot participate.
Thank you, Mark.
And Mr. Chairman, since our last meeting, I believe we have two additional exhibits. A16 being the board planner's third technical review dated January 5th, 21, and A17, the board engineer's third technical review dated January 18th, 21. I think those are the only two.
Yes.
And good evening, Mr. Chairman. This is Kevin Kennedy. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Kevin. Good evening. Welcome. Happy New Year to you.
Nice to see you.
Mr. Chairman, you want me to start, or did you...
No, we are to you. Please.
Okay. Well, thank you again. We are... happy to be here again, and this was a continuation. We started October 27th, 2020. We came back, I think it was December 8th, but we didn't get heard, so this is the continuation of that. You'll recall that there was some, we had a rather lengthy discussion back in October, and there were some comments and questions and concerns that board members had and asked that we address, and you'll also recall... no requirement that we renotice, but board attorney, at the last hearing, we actually did provide additional notice because we did clarify the parking situation, and we didn't want there to be any problems, so we did renotice at the last hearing. And Mr. Chairman, we went rather extensively last time, so I submit revised plans have been submitted to address some of the changes. What I would like to do is that to bring up Fuller Trip Brooks He was previously sworn. He's a principal of the company. He will describe some of the changes. And then we have our architect who will give a professional architectural opinion as to some of those changes that were requested and were made. And we do have our engineer here, Walt Hopkin, and we do have our planner, Andy Janin, here. I don't necessarily know that they will need to provide any direct testimony, but they are here in case they're needed or in case anyone has any questions. And I guess, Kerry and Candace, the first thing I would ask is, before we turn it over, is do we have, and how many eligible voters do we have tonight since it has been a continued hearing? Candace, I meant to ask you earlier.
We put that on before we started. Yeah, you have seven.
Seven.
Excellent. Thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, may I recall Mr. Brooks?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Great, thank you. What's Kevin said, I'm not going to add much to it before I turn it over to our architect. Just to recap a little bit about the last meeting, there were issues regarding height. There was an issue regarding the rooftop structures, the height of the rooftop structures, what they were made of, how large they were, how tall they were. There was comments about garbage on the second floor. There were a number of things that we noted, and we were asked at the very end of the meeting to go back and get creative, try to find a solution to those issues, because underlying all that was comments about how beautiful it was and how it would be a great project for the borough, and there was seemed to be enthusiasm for the project, but there were these things that were sort of jutting out that were of concern. So we went back as directed, and we came back with some 12 changes overall to the plan. Not for me to go through them, to repeat. I'm going to let Dan Contador, our architect, go through them, and he has samples. But we hopefully now have addressed the issues that the board had concerns about, and that we can get a vote and move this project to towards its next phase. So thank you for hearing us tonight. And Dan, I'm going to turn it over to you to take us through the changes.
Hey, Dan, good evening. And why don't you just state your name for the record?
Daniel Condator.
And you're testifying as a licensed architect, correct?
That's correct.
And you were previously sworn at the October meeting, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
I recognize you're still under oath?
Yes.
Kerry, is that okay, or do you want...
Thank you, Kevin, that's fine.
Okay. And then Mr. Chairman and Kerry, just before I forget, I believe the board engineer's memo talks about a revised site plan. And Dan, did you have any plans that were revised that we need to officially mark into the record?
There are a set of architectural plans that were submitted, so...
Okay. And can you just give the date for them and just make sure that we can mark them into the record just to make a complete record?
Yeah, I'll give you the date on them. The revision date is 10/13/20.
So at the last meeting, very abbreviated December 12th meeting, I marked as A12 the preliminary and final revised site plans by Walter Hopkin, revised to 1123, 5 sheets, and A13 are the architectural plans by Daniel Contador, revised to 10/13/20, 10 sheets. So that those plans have been marked. Right. And then at that meeting, A14 was the updated Dave Hoder report of 12/7/20, and A15 was the updated report by Christine Capone, dated 12/8/20. But then I just marked the latest technical reviews by the two of them as A16 and 17.
Awesome. And as is always the case, you're one step ahead of me, so thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, Dan, why don't you talk about, you were at the last hearing, why don't you talk about some of the changes that were made in response to the our last full hearing before the board.
Sure. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for giving me the opportunity tonight. First, I'd like to take this in a couple steps. I'd like to walk you through the actual plans that were submitted, and then after I just walk through the actual drawings, kind of circle back on some of the comments that were brought up at the last hearing and circle back on a couple points and kind of reinforce what we're doing with the design. So now I'll share my screen. What we have here, can you guys see this now?
Yes.
Okay. So these are the revised set of plans that were submitted on 10/13. We'll start with the floor plans. We'll work to the elevations, and I'll talk about a couple of details. On the left side here, you'll see the bubbled areas are the parts of the plans that have changed, so this should be easily identified. What we're providing on the ground floor is the 12 parking spaces that are required for the residential. And we moved the trash during the last hearing. There were some concerns about the location of the trash, and moving the trash from the retail level down to the garage to be taken out. So we look back at that to see what we can do, and we carved out some space, and we're able to move the trash room directly to the entrance, so the trash can be easily moved to the street for pickup and brought back into the building. In doing so, that revised the retail level. So what we had originally, we had that trash room in the right corner. You can see where the bubble is. So what we've done is we've created this residential storage area at this level. So a resident can come down the elevator or the stairs to the individual storage locker, grab what they need, and either go out to the garage, down to the garage, or back up to their unit. So this is residential storage. There's no more trash up here. And that kind of cleaned this floor plan up over here. Also, one of the things that we talked about previously was parking and how many occupants would be in this retail space. So what we working with my client, talk about how many actual people would we think would occupy the space at one time. We set the occupancy load for the retail space at 60 persons. So that was the change, and that will further affect the parking requirement for the retail level. So those were the first two changes.
Dan, can I stop you and just ask you, how do you set the occupancy level at or load at 60?
Typically when we do things, it's life safety determines the overall occupant load, but you are allowed to, within the building code, to formally set your occupancy load. If the egress occupancy load is higher than what you need, you're allowed to formally set it, and that will have to be a part of the building permit, and that will have to be posted on that retail level that says the maximum occupancy load will be 60. So it was just a discussion between the ownership and us to determine what we felt was comfortable for the space and would work for what we think might go there, and that's what we decided.
Okay, so how you do that is you put it in the building permit that's the maximum load, and then that will be what the CO is issued for?
Yes, that's correct. Permit.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem. So I'll go on to the next sheet. These are the first two residential floors. So residential-wise and unit-wise, they haven't changed. We still have the two bedroom units with the bathrooms and a study, the den, the kitchen, and a great room. So there were no changes at these levels. So we can continue on to the next sheet, which is the third level residential and then the roof. So the third level residential, again, hasn't changed from its original design. Here in the middle, you can see we have the staircase that we included for the access, the private access to the roof deck. And on the right here is a revised roof plan. So from a plan perspective, what we've done is we've eliminated the pergola system. So there is no pergola over these the deck area. We have changed the guardrail. The 48-inch guardrail around the perimeter was previously a cable rail, and now it's simply a glass, a tempered glass railing. So inherently transparent. In the middle, we reduced, we have these dividing walls between the units. We, instead of putting a full screen wall, we've limited to just a 48-inch high divider, just to provide some separation and isolation between the two sides. And then the middle, which I'll show you a better detail, it's hard to understand the plan. Instead of having a full pop-up for a stairwell, we were able to find a creative idea of these kind of the stair hatch. So we're able to slope this area on the sides, and the stairs continue up at, through a hatch, which I will further explain. I know it's not easy to see it in a plan, but it reduces the overall height of this whole area to a maximum of 4'7" off of the roof, which is very similar to slightly over the heart of a guardrail, which is a huge reduction to what we previously had as a full stair tower coming up that was, you know, 9 to 10 feet off of the roof elevation. Also,
can you just back that up? Instead of the 9 foot, you're down to what?
The top of this would be 4'7" off of the roof.
Thank you.
And then in the back, we cleaned up the mechanical units, and we're providing a 48-inch screen facing both street elevations. But these units, as I provided before, are in the rear corner, and we feel are hidden from views from the public in the street. Finally, on the roof, it doesn't read here, but there was a 2-foot parapet on the building, which we had removed, and there is no parapet. It's just a flat roof to the edge. And also, you can see the setbacks from the street. So we have a 9-foot setback and a 14-foot setback from the roof edge to that 48-inch glass railing. So really kind of reinforce it and hide these areas and isolate them in the middle. So therefore, when you're at the street level, they won't be visible to the public. Help with the building height. So here on the next sheet.
Before you leave the roof design, the access is going to be limited just to that darkened area for the public, for the two residents.
Correct. This would be full perimeter glass railing, so they won't, if you come up through the unit, you won't be able to walk onto the roof outside that area.
Okay, thank you.
How high did you say that glass railing is?
48.
Thank you.
48 inches, sorry. So here is revised elevations of the front facade along Ocean, and here's a rear facade. So you can see quickly, you know, the only thing that you really observe is this is a 48-inch glass railing. So you see it because of the line work, but it's actually transparent in real life. So the pergola that was here and the high stair tower, those are no longer a part of it. The highest protrusion on the roof really would be our elevator overrun, which is required based on, you know, the height needed for an elevator stop at the top. So that's really the highest protrusion that we'll have moving forward.
And what? How high is that?
Sorry, it was 4'9". Sorry.
And how about the mechanical one? That's just 48 inches, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Another thing that we did to reduce the overall building height was to set the building down 6 inches lower from where it was before. So originally, in the original plan, when you pulled in off of the street, you climbed up 6 inches to the sidewalk elevation into the garage. But what we're going to do now is, in the plan, we can show a civil plan, but the entire width of the parking entrance, I'll probably have that next one. The entire width of this parking entrance will be at the street elevation, so the sidewalk would be depressed there. allowing us to just pull down the building a little bit more, which we know that every little bit counts, so we try to find a way to kind of pull the building lower by doing that. Here again is, this is an elevation, a north elevation, so you can see the combination of, you know, the guardrail. This is the roof skylight hatch, 4'7". So you can see those new items there. Previously, we had the pergola that spanned this whole thing, and then we had a big block in the mast in the middle for the stairs. So that's no longer there. And here is another side elevation similar to the other side, showing the same thing. So these are the updated perspectives that were in the original submission. So this is the corner here of river and ocean. And previously before, you were able to see those structures popping up into view. And at this point, you can see that it just appears as a flat roof. Those things are set far enough where they won't be visible. And then finally, I have two more slides, sorry.
So, excuse me, before you leave that side again, on the north side,
yes.
Is there any reason you couldn't continue those glass panels in the retail space a little further back to try to soften that whole wall?
It's possible. We can look into that.
If you intend on using it for a restaurant, I think the open glass look would be more appealing, too. And it
yes,
would take away some of the height of that wall.
That's something we can consider. We can look at that. So this is
Daniel. Do you have slides of your original application from that vantage point, and we could just compare the change from before to now?
Yeah. Let me see. This is the whole presentation. So this is the elevations here. The pergola and the stair tower. This is that side elevation, the north elevation that we just looked at with all the structure up here.
Can you zoom in? Yeah, from there. Can you zoom in? Well, no, go back to the slide you were just on.
Yep.
That was good. Can you zoom? Yeah, see, this is the look of the new building, right?
This was the original presentation, so all this stuff was visible. This is the roof structure, the pergolas.
No, everything. The one that's up right now looks like the new application. So this is the original.
This is the original, yes.
Okay, so do you see the detail you have right at the roof line? You had a little bit of a parapet before. Can you zoom in on that detail at the roof line?
This little step piece here.
Yeah, I just think that's more attractive. Your new application is very slab-sided. If you could show the difference between the two.
Yeah, we can
add that's your original, and then go to your new.
That is the new. That's the new.
Oh, it is the new.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that detail on the new. It looks more slab-sided. Maybe it disappears as you go back some. Okay.
Yeah.
That is the new.
Yes.
Can you go back to the old again? Because I thought the old had a little more.
It might have just been a way that
it was the same thing on the old. Okay, I got it. All right,
but you can see
good. Thank you.
The structures, right? So that activity on that roof is now no longer visible in perspective. So just to give you a sense of what we've accomplished, what I'm showing here is a section through that hatch. So. You don't see this one stair line. So you have from the left, you'd have like a stair coming up to a landing, and then you get to a landing, and the stairs go to the roof. And then this is an automatic hydraulic hatch that would swing open and allow you to continue walking out without building a full height stair tower. So we added that section in there just to kind of bring some clarity to that. And I have another exhibit after this, which kind of gives you a real-life image of what that would look like. And that is this here on the right. So you can see how those operate, which is a really you know, to me, a cool structure to create and take advantage of. So we put this together to kind of show.
I think it looks good.
Yeah, some of the, like the hatch, the glass railing, you know, what we're thinking for mechanical screening is over here. It won't be this high, but that similar louver type contemporary look. This is the decking material that we would use up there. Not that you would see it, but we have it on there. So those are the revised architectural plans that we put together. But I kind of like to circle back on a couple other things. One of the studies and one of the questions that came up during last hearing was the hardware store building actually next to us, and we didn't know the actual height, and he asked us to kind of go back out there, take a look at it. How does it fit relative to our building? So we went out. I could just pull just a regular Google image of it. So here it is. This is the existing hardware store that's adjacent to us. So really, I just want to talk through some of the key points to this. So along the front here, they have a canopy that protrudes out over the sidewalk. The underside of that canopy is 9 feet. The top of that canopy is 13 feet. This adjacent roof line for this skinny building in between us is approximately 16 feet. The top of the parapet, or the top of the wall, I don't know if it's a parapet exactly, but the top of this roof edge is at 40 feet. So we're approximately 9 feet higher than this line here. But, you know, in my previous testimony, we talked about how we pulled the building away. And I kind of want to just get back into that real fast. Because as you can see, this is 40 feet, but this is 40 feet on the street, a mass building with punched openings, a lot more a weight and like physicality to how it engages. There's no really transparency through it. They have the overhang as opposed to what, you know, we're putting together. And I kind of want to walk through this real fast. I'll go back up to the elevations. Okay, so this will be the south side of the building. So this sign band, or this band here, is on the property line. So this is only really the mass that engages the street line directly. And that goes from zero of the grade to 20 feet, right? Then from 20 feet to 40 feet, so this line here, this step here, at the top of the second floor, or the third floor plane, is at 40 feet. So this is similar height to the hardware store. But this whole mass wall is set back 6 feet from the street, as opposed to being on the street, which I think is significant. And then from there, even further, we step back for the last 9 feet, another 6 feet. So our top floor is 12 feet back from the, you know, Ocean Avenue property line, which I think is a big part of why this design works. Even though it's taller than the building next to us, it doesn't feel as tall because it's not as overbearing on the streetscape. So I kind of just wanted to bring that up real fast. I have another exhibit that I wanted to show, if I can find it. This was a study. I thought this study was submitted. If it wasn't, we can mark it as an exhibit.
What's its name?
This is called, I'm trying to get to it. SK01 height study.
A height study? Let me just look and see.
So we have that.
You guys have that?
Let me look and just take a look. And, you know, I think I've mismanaged my markings, too.
I don't think it had been marked.
Okay, no. But let me, I have to go back and do some corrections, though. And looking through my notes. because I see we had been up to 820. So what I marked as 8 last time is 8, 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm going to amend to 821, 22, 23, 24, and then today's markings. Amend to 825, 26, and now 827. And what are we calling this now?
This is a height study, SK-01.
Okay.
And Dan, why don't you just state who it was prepared by and if there's a date on it?
This was prepared by Rudowski Development, and the date is 11-5-20. Thank you.
Are you T? Go ahead.
Okay, so really what we tried to do is, find similar buildings within the vicinity of what our project is and illustrate them comparatively relative to their building height. So we understand that from certain grade points, the heights are different, but overall, the tops of the buildings relative to each other are very similar. So what you see is this on these elevations, the grade plane is set up so it's the actual grade plane. So you can see on the firehouse, the floor is significant, grade point is higher than ours or higher than the Rooney building, but overall, the tops of the buildings are relatively close to each other. I just kind of want to reinforce how we fit into the community. Our building's actually the same or slightly lower. The Rooney building is at 50 feet from building height, actual building height from grade, and we're at 49'6". And we're skinnier, not as much street frontage as the Rooney building. I also think it's kind of want to note that where we're located here, some of the larger buildings in downtown are kind of within this node or this block. So between what we're proposing, the hardware store, the firehouse and pavilion, they all kind of center around this point. So relative to from our building scale compared to what's near to us, I feel that we're comparable and we fit into that kind of demographic of the buildings. So that was something I just wanted to share with everybody, so they can kind of graphically see how these all tie together. I don't know if anyone had a question on that.
This is Heather Borman. I think it's a really good perspective to do this exercise. It's very helpful. Just to make note, I think, to the Rooney building and to all these other buildings, it's the absolute top. But on top of what you have for the break, there's also, there's an additional height. You just can't see it from the perspective. Is that a fair statement?
The pop-up for the stair tower and things like that.
Yeah.
They're there. Yes, they are higher than that. But to me, they're accessory structures to their overall building height, such as, a mechanical unit or an elevator overrun. Those are, accessories to the building height. In many jurisdictions, those are allowed exceptions within building height. And then one last thing I wanted to circle back on, just kind of complete my testimony. I think towards the end of the hearing last time, it was talked about, everybody felt that we were elevating the building so we can get parking, so we can complete this development. But just to circle back on that, when the Rooney building was built and when our building is proposed, there was an amendment to the zoning ordinance relative to base flat elevation and what they call a freeboard. A freeboard is
the required dimension set from base flood elevation to where the floor structure had to clear. So that was updated, I believe, in 2018. So where we're at now is that we have a 3-foot freeboard. So our current grade at the garage entrance is at 4.5, okay, at relative elevation. And then the base flood elevation is 9 feet for this building. Then with the update to the zoning ordinance, we have to add 3 feet to the underside of structure, not to the floor, to the underside of structure. So that brings our structure up 3 feet plus the actual floor thickness. So adding all that together really sets our floor at a minimum 11 feet above the grade, or no, 10 feet above the grade. So that had a big impact on where we are. So our actual retail floor level cannot go lower than what it we're showing in our plan based on the requirements of flood elevation. So that's the last thing I kind of want to circle back. So the elevation height for that is not just to fit parking underneath. I don't believe I have anything else. I know that was a lot, I think.
It was good. Any other questions from the board? The witnesses' testimony?
Did no one have a toilet?
No, I think that that they've done a great job with addressing the comments that we gave them in the last meeting.
I agree. I think it's great. And I really like your height comparison, that because that's what one of our biggest questions were. That's a great job, and we could even use that in the future with other. I like it.
Just for the record, that was Ms. Bills that spoke, and prior to her was Mr. Cashmore.
And this is Elizabeth. I also like it. I like the airy feeling that you have with the setbacks on the top floors. I think it gives it just a lighter look.
Great. Thank you.
Anyone else? Is there anyone in the public that has a question about the testimony? If not, public portion is closed. Mr. Kennedy, you have another witness?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Let me just ask Tripp, I do not believe we have any further witnesses. Tripp, did you want me to bring anybody up?
No, I don't. Am I on? It's hard for me to tell.
Yeah, right you now. Are on.
Yeah. Okay, great. No, we had really gone through all of the testimony, and we'd reached the point where the feedback was coming in, and we were making our notes, and it was agreed that we needed to go back, you know, to the woodshed here and figure this out. So that's what we did, and we've come back, and certainly questions about what we've done, we're here to answer, but it's all there, and this is really, I think, what we're able to do with this building is change the rooftop as requested. The pergolas are gone, all of those things that you saw, and you know, kudos to our architect who found that that hatch system that really alleviated the big bulkhead that we had on the top. So it was a good find, and I think it's even though it's 4'7", it's actually sloped. That's the peak of it, and then it slopes back. So I don't think you're gonna. It was really a positive aspect. So no, I don't have anything else. We're certainly here to answer questions, and if not, you know, we really hope we're able to move forward with this.
Good. Board members, discussion or questions or a motion?
Yeah, it's Heather Gorman again. Just for clarification, I know in the revised drawing it says retail, but I think based on the last conversation we had, Tripp, you wanted to make sure it was flexible for retail and restaurant, and you're just putting the cap on it, the capacity for 60 as a max, including individuals and employees. Is that the way we should interpret it?
Yes. Dan can verify the exact count, but what we did was there was a lot of conversation at the end of the meeting where we talked about originally setting up as retail and then, well, what if it was a restaurant? Do we want the restaurant to come back? So what we, even though the capacity could be much greater than this, we really felt that given the residential component of this building that we wanted to limit the occupancy to 60, which would require less than we would have gone for if we had gone for full use of the capacity. And we thought we would limit it so that we would limit it. So it's 20 parking spaces for the public and 8 for employees. But it is, that would be for seating in a restaurant of 60 people.
Heather, and
that's what we did notice for, by the way.
Heather, if you looked at Dave Hoda's letter, he indicated that this occupancy of 60 requires 28 spaces as far as a restaurant. If you took that same area and made it retail, it would only need 14.
Right.
So he actually is allowing for the maximum use of that space as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
No.
But the only step was what Heather just brought out that I recall, and that is that they are designating the occupancy load and setting it at 60 persons. That's their maximum. So that's their stipulation.
Everyone accept that.
David, I believe you had made a suggestion earlier that you wanted to see done with something on the roof. There was one other possible. Oh, no. Dave, you were looking at bringing the glass on the north wall farther back to break up the side of the building a bit. Would you want to get that in as a stipulation?
Well, I just think for design, it is a tall building on that street side. That may soften the look a little if they got something in those dead spaces there under the windows.
Dan, can you bring up the floor plan for the retail level?
I can.
Thank you. And can you enlarge it?
Yep. You speak faster than my hands, Chip.
Okay.
So that glass stops, right?
Yeah, so the answer is yes. The glass can come back at least, I would say, 3 or 4 panels.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Which would be what in feet? About how many feet back?
9 feet. They're about 3 foot panels.
So can we put that in? Dave, is that a good idea, do you think? And Carrie, can we put that in as a stipulation?
We can stipulate to that to begin with. I think it's a suggestion that we certainly can execute, and it would just be part of the resolution that we're going to do that. So if they're 3 foot panels, how many? There's 4 up now.
These are 3. There's 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so we would double the glass over on that side. If you want to bring up elevation again.
I think that would help the appearance of that long, big wall. Need something there.
Yeah. This is on the Ocean Avenue side?
It's on the River Street.
River Street side.
Yeah. The Ocean Avenue has glass all the way across. So
on the River Street side, we're going to extend the glass an additional 9 feet at the retail level.
3 more panels to the west.
And Tripp, Stephen Cashmore here again. You would continue that detail that is above the windows to the end of the additional 3 panels.
Yeah, it's a wood feature sign band, but yes, we would continue that.
Maybe just continue that along to keep that same look.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I think that'll help in the appearance of that big blank wall.
Yeah, I think it's a good suggestion. I just want to be sure and plan that there wasn't something there. I know the kitchen's more towards the back. I just want to be sure that in visualing it in my mind anyway, where things might lay out. But it's not an obstruction, so we're good. I think you've done a good job with this building. I'm more of an advocate to the Rooney-type style with the gable-end roofs and a little more of the seashore look. This is a little more on the contemporary side, but stepping it back, I think, certainly made it not as overwhelming as it would have been if it was a straight wall. So I'm satisfied with it.
And I just want to, again, I think the original height was 52, maybe 0.5, and it's now going down to 49.6?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And just so the board knows, that still is a use variance for the height. And, you know, you did receive testimony from Mr. Janu talking about the height and, you know, his reasonings for it as to why the purpose of the height was, and I think the architect also just spoke a little bit with regard to the base flood elevation, as well as that the first floor has to be set at least a minimum 10 feet above grade. So, but I just want to point out that it's not just the bulk variances, but you do have a use variance in there.
Correct. Mr. Brooks, you understand with a D variance on affordable housing, I think the penalty is like 6%.
What?
Affordable housing contribution, I think when it's a D variance, it jumps it to 6%.
I don't know what it is. Okay, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking. Yeah, whatever. Obviously, it's subject to a Mount Laurel contribution, whatever the ordinance requires.
And Mr. Chairman, I would just say in conclusion, my present is no summation other than to say thank you to the board. You all have been very conscientious and thorough and sincere in your review. And because I've practiced before you all, that's nothing new, and I totally expect that. But what I do want to also say is I very much, and my whole development team here, appreciates the interaction that we had, because sometimes I've been to other board meetings, and sometimes you only hear people say yes or no. And I think it was very helpful where you all expressed your concerns at the last meeting and gave us an opportunity to try to address them. So on behalf of the development team, I thank you for that. And I think it resulted in a better project.
Thank you, Kevin. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second it.
We have a roll call, please.
Okay. Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Giulio?
Yes.
Mr. DeSeo?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
And Ms. Gorman?
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I think it'll be great.
You always tell me not to make suggestions. He appreciated it.
Yeah, I don't always tell you that, Dave.
Making suggestions and directing. Good job.
Thank you. I think it's a beautiful building.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to build it. Thanks again.
Let's see. I think that does it tonight. Is there any other business before the board this evening?
Lance,
yes.
We did have a second set of minutes. The
did I miss something?
The January 12th minutes. Could we?
Oh, I see that.
Could we talk about those for a few?
Yes,
my. Sorry, my cat's getting in the action here.
Discussion on the January 12th minutes.
Kitty.
Not to have a motion to approve them. I'll make a motion. Second.
Second.
Thank you. Okay.
All in favor? No, I think we did a good call.
Okay.
Aye.
You're going to do an aye? Or shall I call?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. So it's approved.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody.
Kitty. All right. Thanks.
voter.
Okay, we'll call that roll. Do a roll call or are we doing aye?
Is it an aye?
Okay. You can do all in favor.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Any other business before the board this evening?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Harry, is this your last meeting?
I wish I knew.
February 9th.
We hope not.
I hear nothing, so I will. You'll all be the second to know. But well, as soon as I hear anything, even an inkling of when it might be happening, I'll give everybody enough time to figure something out.
Well, we're certainly going to miss you.
No.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And we'll miss Bob Knott, too.
Yes, definitely.
Just a reminder, Candace, if you would just send a copy of that email to him.
Yeah.
It was a little hard to understand him when he was reading.
Yeah.
Before, and it's really lovely.
Yes. Where's Bob going? He sold his house in Seabright, and so they're still in Australia, but when they come back, they're probably going to go to warmer climes. Maybe with you back down in Florida.
Yeah, I go back on Monday.
Ooh. This concert.